State Street, a global financial services organisation, introduced a formal mentoring programme into its UK business in 2002. Barry Muir, Senior Vice President and Managing Director, chairs State Street's UK Mentoring Committee. Here we speak to Barry about how the mentoring programme was first implemented and the ways in which it has developed over the years. I began by asking Barry to provide us with a brief overview of State Street as an organisation.
State Street is an organisation of 27,000 people globally. We're in two main businesses. We have an asset servicing business and an asset management business, our main business being asset servicing, and that's very much what we do from here in Edinburgh, with an employee base of around 800.
And could you provide us with an overview of the key aspects of the mentoring programme here in the UK?
One of the challenges as an organisation about 5 or 6 years ago we felt that we needed to address was to leverage much more of the experiences of our managers, leaders in the organisation, and make sure that folks within our organisations benefited from those experiences. And one of the ways we felt that we need to do that was through a mentoring process, and engaging a formal mentoring process as opposed to relying on informal relationships, networks, etc. to create that. So that was why we decided that we wanted to introduce a formal mentoring programme across the UK and put some formal structure around it and some guidance for both mentors and the mentees around what a mentoring programme was all about and what we expected folks to get out of it and how it could help them in career progression, building a network, gaining experience, etc. In order that we could start to fuel much more of the experiences into the lower ranks of our organisation, particularly some of our junior managers who are relatively new to managing and leading, they could leverage the experiences of some of our more senior management team and learn from those experiences, good and bad, which would help them as they grew as managers and leaders in the organisation. So it was part of an overall process of developing better leaders, managers and engaging staff much more in the organisation.
And can you tell us a little bit more about how the programme was designed and who was involved in that process?
We effectively involved all of our senior business leaders in the design, along with our HR, our training and development, and folks who'd been involved in mentoring programmes in other organisations. So a cross-section and various levels as well. So it wasn't all about senior managers getting together. From our various businesses and from the corporate functions, we took people at various different levels. We formed a committee, a mentoring committee across the UK, and started to look at what would a mentoring programme be all about, what were we trying to achieve, what did people want to achieve out of it, both mentors and mentees, and create the programme from there. Now, we knew that this would evolve year on year. It wouldn't be that we'd get it right in the first time we rolled this out, and that we designed the programme very much on the basis of, at the end of it, we solicited a whole bunch of feedback from folks who'd gone through it, the mentoring process, in order that we could start to build on it and improve it as the years went by. And key to the design was the training process that we took people through. So before we put people into the mentoring programme, they went through a mentoring training process, because we wanted people to understand what mentoring was about and what it wasn't about. It wasn't about you had a new manager all of a sudden. It was another tool to enable your career development or whatever, or networking, but it wasn't about placing your career development all of a sudden in someone else's hands.
And how do you go about raising awareness of the programme within the organisation?
One of the critical success factors of engaging people into the programme is the marketing campaign we run, and we do that through various media. In the run-up to launching the next phase of mentoring, we have a lot of marketing collateral around our offices in London and Edinburgh, whether that's poster campaign, whether it's desktop deliveries of the poster, whether it's screen splashes of announcing the launch of the mentoring programme. So we do a number of different things, but that marketing of the programme has been key. And what we've learned over the period is that we can never do enough of that. And what we've seen is the more marketing we do in the lead up to launching the programme, the numbers speak for themselves in terms of people who have engaged in the programme. We actually ask each of the senior leaders in our various businesses to ensure that staff are aware of the programme, how important it is to them as business leaders that their staff engage in it. There's nothing like senior leaders endorsing the programme and also making sure that the staff are aware of how much they feel it is a valuable tool.
And do you use a different approach to attract mentees and mentors?
We use similar approaches, and we use some of that marketing collateral for both mentees and mentors. In terms of mentors, what we also try to do though is, through a management cascade, have separate discussions with people in the management teams in each geography, talking to them about the benefits of being a mentor and why in their roles as leaders and managers in the organisation we see it as an important aspect of their role.
And how do you go about matching up the mentees and the mentors?
Well, that's developed over the years, and we use different techniques, and most recently what we've done is a combination of things. And what we do is the mentors and mentees who have signed up to the programme, we have a lunch, and the idea is that, you know, people go around the room talking to people, and if they talk to people where they think they make a connection with on a number of fronts, in terms of, you know, their area of the business that they might be interested in, they just connect through the discussion they've had, and therefore can make a choice to and a recommendation that they'd like to have that person as their mentor, and they can put that forward and can proactively select their mentor. The other way we do it is we have a selection meeting where, as part of applying to the programme, the mentors and mentees come up with what's important to them, what their key drivers are, what they're looking to get out of the programme, and then we go through a selection process of trying to match up what the mentees are looking to get out of the programme versus what the mentors want to get out of the programme, and trying to match appropriate skills of what the mentees are looking for. Trying to get as good a matches as possible is critical. In the initial stage, it was very much about just putting pairs together we thought would work together, but then as things have evolved, we've realised there's different ways of doing it.
And when the matches have happened and everything's set up, how long does the programme actually run for?
We continue to debate this, but we've got to get into a sort of 6 or 7 month period and said that really we think that in order to run an annual programme and do all the prep work, then 6 or 7 months is what we recommend to people that the mentoring relationship should last for, and recommend that people at least meet once a month within that, and maybe more if they can. But what we say to people is, look, if it's working and you're getting a lot out of it, there's nothing to stop you continuing that relationship indefinitely. There's no restriction ultimately on this. All we will do is at the end of that 6-7 month period, the mentoring committee would come out to the pair and ask for feedback.
Okay, and in terms of what gets discussed in the mentoring meetings, mm-hmm. is that agreed upon between the mentor and the
yes.
mentee?
You know, up front, there's very much what we term a contract, and they agree about, you know, the boundaries are going to be, and that's very much driven by the mentee, because at the end of the day, they're the individual who's probably going to get most out of the relationship, and we want to get most out of the relationship. So they very much up front come with their contract of the things that they want to discuss and get out of that mentoring relationship, and that's very much forms the sort of first meeting, and then that allows the mentor to go away and start forming thoughts of, right, you know, what can I do to make sure that, you know, we achieve this.
Okay, yeah. And when the formal cycle is closed down, as you put it, how do you go about measuring the success of the programme?
We have a survey that goes out to all the participants, and again, this has evolved. It's an online survey that goes out to all the participants with a range of questions in terms of what's worked, what hasn't worked, so that we can then every year refresh the programme based on the feedback. And each year, the survey at the end of it has let us develop the programme to where it is today, and that's a critical part of our ability to make sure that we continue to refresh it every year and enhance it.
And do you go about seeking testimonials or more sort of personal feedback from people when they come out of the process?
We do. We also do that in terms of making sure that for our marketing collateral, we can say that, you know, these are some of the examples of what some people have got out of this.
In terms of the State Street as a global organisation, how does the UK mentoring scheme differ from what you have on the go in other parts of the world?
The UK probably were one of the early leaders in developing a mentoring programme. Other geographies have had mentoring programmes in various different shapes and forms. What we're trying to do now, though, is looking at where we have employees who would like to have a mentoring relationship beyond the UK, then we're engaging in setting up a global mentoring process, which will be an online process. The idea of that is not to replace any of the local programmes, but to complement and say, well, there's another dimension to mentoring beyond the local mentoring, face-to-face type stuff, so that employees can have the ability to engage with people in different geographies and to learn about different business practices in different parts of the world.
And do you have any other future plans in the pipeline for mentoring here in the UK?
I mean, in some respects, it's about continuing the growth of the engagement. If you look at the numbers over the period we've done it, we've probably seen, you know, the numbers rise, you know, 150% probably since we started this, in terms of engagement and contribution. What I would say is our key focus for this year in the mentoring programme is trying to target as a mentee some of our more middle to senior managers and say, you may benefit from being a mentee as well as a mentor, because you know, you never stop learning.
What advice would you give to other organisations seeking to implement a mentoring programme?
I would say that don't expect that to have an immediate impact and be bought in by everybody in the organisation right away. It takes time to embed something like this in the culture of an organisation. It takes time for you to get your message across about what this is all about and for people to really see the value in it if it's not already been in an organisation. I would say that preparation is everything, and planning. Make sure your marketing collateral is very strong. Make sure that you've got the buy-in of the senior leadership team and that they promote the programme within the organisation and the value it has to them. So that's some of the things that I would suggest that people need to think about. Over time, it will start to become institutionalised and people totally understand what the mentoring programme is all about in your organisation. And once that message gets across, and then people can see the benefits and managers can see that they can use it as a tool for their employees, then people start to buy in because there's something in it for them. And that's always important.
Barry, thank you very much.
Thank you.